We're in the fourth perek of the Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim. We're speaking here about people being lazy. Now, lazy people are the type of people that don't get up for Shacharis. And then there's people who are not that lazy. They get up for Shacharis, but they come late to Shacharis. That's also a problem. It's not as bad of a problem, but just so you should know, it's a problem. Avol af imloi nilkisa b'machlo hagarua machlas ha'atzlus. Even if you're not the type of person that mamish misses Shacharis. You're not mamish like Joe Lazy. Gam loy nizhamu gufecho v'nafshecho b'zoyim ha'batolo. You're not the type of person that mamish doesn't do anything and just likes to sit there on the couch like a potato. Even if it's just like you have the dust of this rat of Atzlus. Asher hisrapus shmoi. Hisrapus is someone who is lackluster. Someone that he comes, but he comes late. He makes it there, but he's not on time. He's he's doing it, but he's not doing it with energy. He's not doing it. He's not doing 110%. He does, but he doesn't do it like the way it's meant to be done. That's hisrapus, or I'm calling it lackluster. Vim eina misukenes ki atzlus. For sure, it's not as bad. It's not as dangerous as someone who's flat out lazy. Mikomokom gam hi. Also this, if it grabs a hold of a person, it'll stop a person from doing what he can do. It'll stop a person from being able to get out, to remove. And hold him back from going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a climb. We spoke last week about climbing a mountain. And a person that, he climbs, but, as they schlep tzach the feet. Zechorna. Shahatoira mishamayim nitna. Remember, the Torah was given min shamayim. V'liyos Yisrael loymer ha-toira v'oyvin Hashem aliyah letzel kanfei shakayu. And if a person wants to get the Torah, to be Yisrael, loymer toira, serve Hashem, you need to go up. Rak al yedei avoida. It's only if you're willing to work hard. His chazkus, his amtsus, kol koyche aguf anefesh yecholim lagia ilov. If a person is strong, he's focused, he's driven, all of the koyach of his guf anefesh, then he's able to reach. I was talking to a friend of mine, Shai Stern. Shai lives in L.A. He's a pretty, he's a famous macher, especially if you're from L.A., you'll know Shai. But in general, Shai's he's a successful businessman. And I once asked him, I said, Shai, why is it that you always, why are you, all the people you hire, all good ball players, why do you always hire jocks? Why is it always the good ball players that you hire? And he said to me, because the fact is that a guy that's going to be excellent at ball is going to be excellent in business. They're driven, they're motivated. It's someone who really wants to accomplish something. So if he's good at this, he's got good work ethic. How does someone become good at sports? He practices. And he invests. Someone who's good at sports is going to be good in business. People have said to me, why is it that the big rabbis, once upon a time, they were they make up these stories, they were the captain of the basketball team, they were the best. Why do they make, why is that always the story you make about it? But I don't know necessarily that it's a coincidence. Because a person who's a driven person, person that doesn't give up, person that works hard, that's the person who's going to be successful. And if you don't work hard, you will be successful at nothing. If you're not willing to sacrifice, you'll be successful at nothing. You'll be a big zero. I remember I was talking to a fellow, Murray Uberfeld is his name. He's also a very wealthy, successful businessman. And Murray once said to me, he used to go to the Citadel. He said, if I ever see a guy drinking in the Citadel, never let him go out with my daughter, never hire him. He's a loser. He said, a guy that can't control himself, he said, and then he's never going to be a successful person. He's out of control. You want to be successful at anything, you need to know how to control yourself. I want to share with you something which is, it's from, you know, another world, but the musig is the same musig. And that's why I'm telling you that these things cross over. There was a pitcher, his name was Tom Seaver. He was a pitcher for the New York Mets. He was the person who got the highest percentage of votes to get into the Hall of Fame in history, 98.8%, which means that he was like everyone voted for Tom Seaver to get into the... He had over 300 wins, 3,000 strikeouts. He was a person who... He was one of the greatest pitchers in the history of baseball. This is Tom Seaver talking about his life. And he said, pitching determines everything that I do in my life. If it determines what I eat, when I go to bed, what I do when I'm awake, it determines how I spend my life when I'm not pitching. If I go to Florida, if it means that I can't make sure not to get a burn, because if I burn, I won't be able to pitch for a few days, so I won't go shirtless. I won't go without sunscreen. If it means that when I pet a dog, I have to make sure to pet with my left hand. Or when I take something out of the oven, or I put logs in the fire, I have to use my left hand, so I shouldn't injure my pitching hand. Then that's what I do. If it means I eat cottage cheese instead of chocolate to make sure I keep my weight down, that's what I do. Because that's what I need to do in order to do what I love, which is to pitch. In other words, if you want to be great at pitching, you have to be 24 hours a day thinking about your pitching. Because there are things that are going to throw you off your game. And you can't let that happen. You want to be great at anything. And one of the things that I study in my life is greatness. That's the things that I like talking about, right? You know, it's getting already like stale, unlocking greatness. So I'm going to change it to grooming greatness. That's my new one. I'm going to change it up a little. But greatness is something and I've read many, many books about greatness. I read a book called Talent is Overrated. I read a book called Peak. I read a book called Grit. It's another great book about... These are all books about what make people great. Peak is how to get peak performance. Grit is about what makes a person great is grit. You have grit. You're gritty, which means that you're like, you know, certain people, they play tough. They become great. And that's what it's about. So if a person has a goal in his life, if he's not ready to be gritty about his goal, he's not ready to be tough, he's not ready to like make sacrifices, he's not ready to think about that goal, even when he's not like engaged in that thing, he won't get it. Whether it's sports, whether it's success in business, whether it's Aliyah and Torah and Yerushalayim, all the great people in the world, if you study greats, all of them, they lived and breathed what they did. Steve Jobs created Apple. His whole life was being busy with his computers. Elon Musk sleeps in his office. He's busy all the whole time. He's busy constantly thinking. He works. He's a workaholic. But he's a person who he wants to be successful. He's driven for success. So therefore, he has to constantly be focused. If a person wants to be successful in yeshiva, it's not about what you do in the base medrash. Everyone can do that. It's what you do out of the base medrash. It's what you do when you're not sitting in front of the Gemara. Because if a person doesn't, like, isn't careful about how he spends his off time, his on time just isn't going to work. Because the same way, if you get a sunburn, you can't pitch. If a person is hungover, so he's not going to learn like a normal human being. It's impossible. If a person the night before has exposed to things to his eyes that he gets flashbacks during davening, during Seder, of course he's not going to connect. Of course it's going to be hard for him. A person has to have grit. He has to realize that, you know, anything great you want to accomplish in this world, anything, it's going to take hard work. Zecharna sha'atoyim min ha'shamayim nitna. Remember that the Torah was given from Shamayim. V'liyos Yisrael lo yimei Torah v'oyved Hashem aliyah. It's going to take aliyah. It takes growth. It takes climbing a mountain. V'rak al yedei avodah. It will only happen if you're ready to work hard. Rav Meir Stern should be gezunt. Rav Shivan Pesek told the following story by Shaul Shudis, and I've heard it since then also. Someone brought his son to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is in many ways a big hero of mine, because Rav Moshe Feinstein was an American gadol. He wasn't born in America. There are gadolim that were born in America. We spoke last night about Rabbi Yitzchok Shiner, who was born in Pittsburgh. But Rav Moshe Feinstein was the epicenter of psak halacha in the world. If you needed a psak anywhere in the world, you went to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And that was the Lower East Side of New York. And for me, even though I'm not a New Yorker at all, but at the same time, I identify with, you know, with the fact that it was someone who was around the corner from me. Around the corner was Rav Moshe Feinstein. His grandchildren learnt and learn in the yeshiva. Right? So that it's for me, Rav Moshe Feinstein is like one of us. He's one of us, you know? And when I went to Bnei Brak and I was there with Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, we davened in the yeshiva, and they're quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein from Lower East Side, New York. It gave me a certain sense of pride. Rav Moshe Feinstein, someone brought their son to Rav Moshe Feinstein in New York. And they told him that his Rebbe said that he had a son, he was in elementary school, cheder, whatever you want to call it. And they said, if he keeps, you know, going the way he's going, he's going to be the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. So they brought his son to Rav Moshe Feinstein to get a bracha for the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know, like, here he is. He's going to take, you know, your place. He's like, next. This is the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. Maybe give him a bracha. Rav Moshe Feinstein was zis and sweet and gentle. He was like, Rav Moshe Feinstein, like, I'll give you an example. He gave haskamas to everyone. If you ever see a haskama for Rav Moshe Feinstein, it doesn't necessarily mean much. Anyone who came, he wasn't like, he was very like, no, he had no airs about him. He was like a simple, very, very easygoing. Rav Moshe was just like, you know, like Shlomo Zalman Orbach. You know, different gedolim had different hanhagas. His hanhaga was just sweet. Rav Moshe was sweet. Rav Moshe got very serious. He says, it's not so simple. Doesn't just happen like you think a kid because he's 8 years old, because he's a bright kid, because he, like, you know, he likes learning at eight, he becomes the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. It doesn't happen like that. It's sweat and hard work. It's a lot of sacrifice. That's the way it happens. You can't tell me a kid at 8 years old is going to be the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. Nishtaze pashat. And we all have to know that. Ask people that accomplished anything great in their world, anyone. Whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, in any way, what was it? And they'll tell you, work ethic. It was that I worked hard, I invested, everyone. And if you read the books that I read them in the bathroom, by the way. The Mashkiach doesn't even read them there, but I read them in the bathroom. Baruch Hashem, Hashem blessed me with lots of stomach issues, so I end up in the bathroom a lot. I got a lot of time to read. But it's been a lot better recently since, and those of you that are here know that I was in the hospital a lot recently, but Baruch Hashem has been better, so I haven't been able to read much. But the point is that read anything. Anyone that ever accomplished anything. Read about Larry Bird, probably the best basketball player ever. Pardon me, all you other people, okay? I don't care. He worked like crazy. He used to, after everyone was finished practicing, he kept practicing and practicing and practicing. He was on the court alone for hours. And he played hurt. He played with a fractured jaw. You know what that means? Fractured jaw, but he's not going to leave the court. He played under crazy circumstances, always. He never left. It wasn't like, my stomach hurts, I can't come today, Rabbi. It wasn't like that. I have a headache. It doesn't make a difference. He was always there. He was there for the team, and that's why they always won. And by the way, Michael Jordan is no different. Michael Jordan described the type of focus that he had when he was on the court. He was also crazy, crazy. His competitive nature, the amount of practice that he did, that's what made them great. I think that it's like they were born with some sort of magic gene. It's not. Larry Bird's son is not a great ball player. His brother wasn't a great ball player. His father's not a great ball player. He's no different than any other hick from Indiana. The only difference is he worked his tail off. And Michael Jordan is no different than any other African-American that always had a dream to be Michael Jordan. It's just he did it. And nothing was going to stop him. And you are not different than anyone else that sits in a base medrash. The only difference is other people said, I will not be stopped. And if you say, I will not be stopped, you will become great. That's the whole difference. Everyone starts off this mom the same. With that great first day, and I'm pushing. It's the first day. Well, I'm going to cop out now. No, I'm pushing. And the second day, I'm already getting tired. It's the third day already. Okay, got to go like out. I got to like chill. I got to relax. We all start off the same. It's just some people, they bail out. They cop out. They're not willing to put in the effort. But that's what it's all about. It's not what most of it's about. If you read studies, and if you want, if it's important to you, it's important to me, you should. The only difference, the only defining quality between greatness and mediocrity is grit, is work ethic, is a person that's willing to sacrifice for what is important to him. That's it. Nothing else. Not brains, not money, not health, nothing. Nothing. So if we're ready to work hard, we could be great. So it's just a question of, do we have enough to dig down? Do we believe enough in ourselves that we can? And are we willing to work that hard? Kol avoida lefi erech hadovar hanikne nimdedes, says the Piasetzna. Okay, everything depends on how much you value it, how important, how precious. Dvarim zoylim v'shtusim, something that's cheap, it's a shtus. Kimat b'li avoid a nickname. Those things come easy. Those things, you don't have to work hard for those things. You get them in the dollar store. They're easy. Dvarim yakarim, mayhem. Something that's more precious. B'yoyser avoid a koinim oysam. It's a little bit harder. You have to work a little bit more. V'lil matoira. But a person wants to learn. U'lechasois b'tzel kodshoi. Rak ba'avoid a kosho yechoyim lagia. A person wants to get diamonds. You have to mine. You have to dig, drill deep down to get diamonds. They're the hardest thing to get. Well, learning Torah is hard because Torah is very precious. Not something that's too hard. It's not too hard. It's hard, but not. It's gedoyla min yecholas ha'adam. Ki Hashem yisbarach loy nasan lanu avoida. Hashem doesn't give us any avoida that's above our koichas and above our ability. But a person has to be strong, stay focused, not just to work when he's available. Be a person who his very nature is he's a working person. Someone that excels at sports is going to excel in business because he's the type of person that works hard. In general, he's a hard working person, he's a focused person, he has work ethic. So then that's something that will transfer into everything that he goes through in his life. So it's not just a question of, okay, I'm going to work hard here. You have to learn how to be a hard working person in every element of your life. We have a sign outside in Yeshiva about the person that donated the basketball court. I wrote the sign, but it says it in his name. The hope that the boys will play hard and learn harder. I don't know if any of you noticed that. Why do you want them to play hard? Because that's all part of, if you're going to do it right. Play hard, but learn harder. What does that mean? You don't have to, some people play way too hard. They get like way into it. It's like, whoa, chill, buddy. But if a person has good work ethic, so then he's not going to lose any. He won't lose anything. Now, I'll tell you a story. One time, I used to basketball wasn't really my sport. I was a kid. It was baseball. That was really my sport. I love baseball. And but anyone that plays ball is going to play every ball, right? So I played basketball. you know, I was captain of the basketball team, but whatever, that's not important. Anyway, I was, so I was playing again, of course. So there was a guy who was a friend of mine. His name was Yaakov Rudman. Yaakov Rudman was by far, hands down, the best basketball player around. All the Rudmans, right, they have it in their genes, right, Rudmans? That was a joke, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. But all the Rudmans are awesome ball players, all of them. It's like unbelievable, every single one of them, at every sport. Anyway, so we were on the court. He was waiting for next. I was playing. And for whatever reason, I decided I want to win this game. I usually didn't care that much about winning. I decided I'm winning this game. I was a little upset. I think that some of the other teams did something that got me upset. I said, okay, we're winning this game. That's it. We're winning. I'm pretty sure David Kornreich was picking me. He's a Rebbe and Derek right now, or at least I checked. Anyway, and I started getting very, very serious. And I started like, and it became like a really intense game. And I was, every single loose ball I was after, every rebound I was after, I was like playing like really hard. So after the game, Yaakov said to me, you should play every game like that. Because then you win every game. He said, that's the way I play. The difference between me and Yaakov is Yaakov really wants to win. I didn't really care that much, so I didn't necessarily win that much. I was talking to his father once, Mr. Rudman. He said to me, you know, maybe I put a little bit too much emphasis on sports, because in our home, like, sports was so important. Okay, that's why the Rudmans are so good. Because sports is that important. You know, Tiger Woods, you know that he was literally, he was in a high chair on the golf course. Literally in a high chair. Mario Lemieux, I don't know if you know who these people are. They iced over their dining room so that he could play ice hockey when it was too dark at night. So there was no outside, there were no lights. So in the house, they put ice in the dining room. The entire downstairs, well, it was a skating rink. So what did that mean? These people, they were playing day and night. They were on the court, on the course, day and night. And if this is so important to you, you will become the greatest of all time. And if it's that important to you to learn, you will become the greatest of all time. That's what it boils down to. So, you know, basketball wasn't that important to me. So, I lost a few balls here and there. I lost a few, you know, the ball's going out, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to die for it. That one game, I really cared, and I did. And there's a rebound, I'm not going to fight that hard for it. You know, and there's a Tysis I don't get. Okay, I don't get it. Well, there's a Rashi, I'm not going to, or there's a Vart that Maribi said in Shir, I'm not sure I understand it. Am I going to really? But if a person's like, I need to get this Vart, and I'm going to sit in the base medrash, I will not leave the base medrash until I get this Vart. Rav Gusman said when he was in yeshiva in Grodno, where he learned, he said when there was a kasha in yeshiva, there was no eating, there was no sleeping, there was nothing. I got into the kasha. You know, so if a person cares that much, of course they became great. And that is the entire difference. The entire difference. Chavetz Chaim was not brilliant. The Stipler was not brilliant. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not brilliant. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was, and I've said this many times, you have been here for a while. I heard from Meir Bronstein, who heard from someone who was in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's class, that he was the schwachest head in the entire class. He had the weakest head in the class. The Gadol HaDor finishes Kol HaTorah Kula once a year, had the schwachest head in the class. Yes, he's not brilliant. He's just a machine, the way he works. He doesn't stop working. He doesn't stop learning. His focus is amazing. His brains are not great. We all can do this. You know, Hashem made an interesting phenomenon that when we were in our mother's tummy, we were told that we learned Kol HaTorah Kula, and then a malach tapped us on our, over here, right between our nose and our mouth, and we forgot everything. Why did we learn Kol HaTorah Kula and forget it? What's the point? And before Hashem asked this question, what did you do that to us for? Why did you teach it to us and make us forget it? You know, I don't know if you know the story. There was a kid who was born, the mouth didn't tap him, the Belz HaRebbe, there's a whole story about a kid who was born who no Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Belz HaRebbe made him forget it, whatever. You could talk about that a different time, but anyway, why did Hashem do this to us? And I think the answer is simple. Because there's probably people in this room are probably saying, yeah, but I can't learn. Learning's too hard for me. Learning is too much for me. I'll never be able to learn. Well, guess what? You did it. You did it already. You did it. You can do it. You've done it. Now, it could be it's going to take a really gritty person with a lot of drive and a lot of commitment, and you're going to have to sit here, you have to make a breakthrough and not say, yes, I get it, if you don't get it, and sit there and chazer it and chazer it. It could be. It could be you're going to have to do it over and over again. But you can do it. You did it already. So don't say, I can't. You could say, maybe I don't want it enough. But that's what it's all about. It's all about desire. So it's true. Learning is hard. It's going to take a lot of work. But we're all capable of doing it. I had today in my office Chabadsker, and he told me a story about the Rebbe. There was a chassid of Chabad that Lida, his son went off the derech, and he was engaged to marry, or wanted to marry, a chvesnisht, a goyish, a woman. And try what he would, he could. There was someone who was by a shliach of the Rebbe, that's what it was. The Rebbe's shliach was trying to convince this person to break off the shliach. Won't do it. He won't break it off. So he said, you know what? You're Jewish. You're going to get married. Go get a bracha from the Rebbe. From the Babcher Rebbe. So he said, the Rebbe's going to give me a bracha? And the Rebbe's going to give, of course, go to the Rebbe. Why shouldn't you go to the Rebbe? The Rebbe loves every Yid. So he went to the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, I'm a Yid, and I'd like to marry a goyish woman, and I'd like to get a bracha from you. The Rebbe looked at him, and the Rebbe said, I'm jealous of you. He said, you're jealous of me? Why are you jealous of me? The Rebbe said, because I'll tell you why. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give people nisyonos that they can't overcome. That's why he didn't give me your nisyon. Because my neshama wouldn't be able to handle it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a great nisyon. You must be a great neshama. Because if he gave you this neshama, this nisyon, you can overcome the nisyon. I'm jealous of the greatness of your neshama. So said the Rebbe. He walked out of there. His head was spinning. Today, Baruch Hashem, he's a Ernst Chabadsker Chassid with the ganze Labush and everything, you know. What a brilliance of the Rebbe. My boy said, I want to tell you, I'm talking real talk here. I'm jealous of you boys. And I don't speak on behalf of myself. Many people have said to me the same thing. Different versions. I'm going to give you my version. If I grew up in your generation, I'm kimat zicher. I wouldn't be from today. I'm kimat zicher. I don't know how you deal with the nesenus you deal with. I wouldn't be able to deal with it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this door. You obviously can deal with these nesenus. You have huge neshamas. These are big neshamas in this room right now. You are capable of overcoming these nesyonos, all of the temptations that are in the world around you. And I grew up in America. I had some temptations. It's true. People grew up in previous generations had less temptations. You are big neshamas. Your neshamas can accomplish a tremendous amount. So I think that the bachurim in this generation are ready to give brachas. Big neshamas. But now it's time to work. It's time to roll up your sleeves. Because Baruch Hashem, you're here, which means that you want, this is what you chose. You made a choice in your life. You don't have to be here. We all know people that chose not to be in this type of environment. And you chose yes to be here. It means this is what you want from your life. That's amazing. But now it's time to do something about it. Roll up your sleeves. You can know kol haTorah kula. You don't have to settle with less than that. It's true, it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be, you know, constantly, and it's going to be rough work. This is the hardest thing that there is to do, because this is the most precious. And if you believe in yourself, and you care about it enough, You absolutely, positively, definitely can do it. Shloima HaMelech Omar Gam Misrape Mimalachtoi Achula Bal Mashchis. Shloima HaMelech says the Misrape, the one that's lazy, it's the brother of the Ach Mashchis. Ha'atzel Ein Aroitze Lavoi Lagamri Hu Abal Mashchis HaMisrape Oysuhu B'Shoshe Baloi Dover Asir Lefanav Avalhu Ba'atzma Eini Ish Oyved. A person that's lackluster, he's not a working person. He's lazy in his work. It takes him extra time. He doesn't dig down to really understand it. He doesn't work hard. He doesn't dig deep. He's just enough. He's happy. Okay, you get it? Yeah, I got it. You don't really get it? Yeah, I got to hear it again. I have to chazer it again. Okay, that's enough. It's not enough. Work hard. Don't bail out. I'll tell you a story about someone that I know. Grew up in Lakewood, New Jersey, right around the corner from Beis Medrash Gavoya. Years ago, when Lakewood was in Ir HaToira. Now, Lakewood is the new Brooklyn, and it's got you know, lots of other elements. But once upon a time, Lakewood was just Ir HaToira. That's all it was. This boy grew around. He grew up Ramat Isyo. When he came to Lakewood, used to stay in his house. You know, he was like mamish, grew up like in the yeshiva kamat. When I met him, he had multiple piercings, tattoos all over his body, without exaggeration. Wearing a necklace and a ring and like a lot of stuff. So one time when he was drunk, he was a self-proclaimed alcoholic, recovering drug addict. He was a gambler. He had every vice you could possibly imagine on the book. Anyway, one time when he was drunk and he was talking to me, I said to him, like, you know, how did this happen exactly? You know, like, what happened over here? So listen to what he told me. He told me, I was yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And I was learning pretty well. And I told my Rebbe, I need a break. I want to take a break. Rebbe said, okay. And I took a break. And I went up north. He said, and it was a disaster. He said, I remember where I was the first day. The next day, I don't even remember what happened. And from there, everything totally unraveled. And this is what this guy, with his tattoos all over his body, and his piercings, and his necklace, and his rings, said to me, if my Rebbe would have just said to me, you don't need a break, just stay in the yeshiva, you're doing okay, you'll be fine, it would have turned out a lot differently. Sometimes we cop out and we expose ourselves to things we don't need. We don't need it. No, I'm doing okay. Baruch Hashem, people here, they're healthy, they're happy, we're well adjusted. You know, we don't need to go out and do damage to our neshama. We don't need to do that. It's hard. That's where greatness comes from, my friends. Embrace it. Because if you want to be great at anything, you're going to have to work hard. And if you work hard, you're going to be great at everything. We'll continue, Bez Hashem.